Anyway, so coming up first to the stage again in this half, we have another person who works here at the Design Museum. She is on the curatorial committee. This is Vianna Newman.
Yeah!
Either one. They're both live.
They're both live. Okay. Hi. So this show is called Nerdalogs, right? This is what I've read. Okay. So far, everyone's been like, I'm a designer, I sing, I play the guitar, I defy thieves at gunpoint. Well, guess what? Guess what? I'm a nerd, so I'm going to talk about that. So originally, I was a little bit nervous when Tanner invited me to do this podcast, and I think it's because when I think about practice, I feel like it's generally something I've avoided in my life. My piano playing career began in the second grade, and ended about 3 weeks later when I decided I was really not interested in practicing. I did stick with the clarinet a little bit longer for a few years, but eventually I was just kind of disappointed at my lack of progress, probably because I wasn't practicing. Dance class, I was a little bit better. I stuck with that for a really long time, but also usually like right before class, I'd be like, hey, what were the steps from last week? Like, it was that sort of thing. You know, maybe not the best topic. But then I thought about it a lot more, and I realized actually that practice, or maybe lack of practice in some instances, have been a really important part of my life, and it's also been what's made me a nerd, I think. So it started really early. My parents decided that I would be a nerd when at the age of 2, they made me learn the Latin names of bones so that I wouldn't be afraid of skeletons anymore. And it worked. It actually worked. So good thing to remember if you have kids. My first actual memory of practicing, since I managed to push that out of my head, was practicing for the spelling bee, which happened every year in elementary school. And it was lots of drilling of words every year. And every single year, I would win at the class level, and then I would get to the school level and not get any further than that. And I think this was an important lesson because it taught me that no matter how much of a nerd you are, there is always someone out there who is nerdier than you are. And if you can't name someone who is, there might be a problem. So spelling bees, I guess, led into Shakespeare camp, which I did for 5 summers. Yeah, I said 5. Which was a lot of practicing. Theater, as you know, involves that. So it's probably not a surprise then that I did forensics through all 4 years of high school, focused on individual events. And usually, before a tournament, I would have weeks to practice. I could practice the lines, I could practice the movement, practice voice, everything. But the last tournament I participated in was my senior year. I was super busy, and I decided, I don't really know why, to do Mark Twain's speech from his 70th birthday. And because of my busy schedule, I ended up having about 2 days, really 2 nights, to transform myself into 70-year-old Mark Twain. And I was really convinced that I would do very poorly because of my lack of practice. As it turns out, I ended up getting second place that Saturday in the tournament, and I was basically as proud of my lack of practice as I was of actually getting that trophy. So later on in college, practice was also definitely important, and if you think I'm talking about something like beer pong, let's remember who we're dealing with here. As part of my Italian major, I took a theater class, and over the whole course of the semester, the small cast that I was in rehearsed a play. And a few weeks into this process, our director, who is Italian, said to us after one rehearsal, "You all sound like native Italians." And we just, we couldn't believe that she had said that. And so, I think the final performance was really good, but that was an instance where just this one random practice in the middle of our process, we had really hit our peak. So sometimes success happens just as you're practicing, since that seems to be how it works. Right at the end of college, I was invited to be a graduation speaker just at my small major graduation. And of course, I thought, okay, I'm going to write something, I'm going to practice it, I'm going to rehearse it, it's going to be great. And in those frantic last days of college where you're saying goodbye to that part of your life and moving and all of that, I really had no time or energy to do that. And so really, for the first time in my life, I did something pretty big without being able to practice at all. And, you know, it probably wasn't the best speech anyone's ever given, but I got a genuine applause and a lot of positive feedback, even from people who weren't my Jewish parents. So that was really fulfilling. But, you know, I feel like we're taught from a young age that, you know, practice makes perfect. But I think that often perfection, or at least success, happens in the context of practice, or sometimes even without any sort of practice. And, you know, doctors and lawyers get to call their professions practices, and that's such a nice privilege. But really, I feel like all of life is practice, right? We don't, you know, living our lives isn't some performance that we know how to do perfectly and that we're prepared for. Every living, breathing moment is practice. There are just some things you can't practice for, though, even though we think you can. Like, I was thinking about it. Interviews is something we really all practice for. Oh, man, I got to practice for this interview. Will you help me? Will you ask me questions? Okay, yeah. So let me tell you about an interview that I just couldn't practice for. It was back in high school, and it was going to be an interview with Harvard. And they sent in a bunch of folks, alumni from Harvard, to our high school, and they were meeting with us one evening to interview us and, you know, see what well-developed, awkward high schoolers we were. And they call me into the room, and it turns out to be a room that I had a class in that year, which is already a little awkward. And I introduced myself, and my interviewers introduced themselves, and, you know, I really steeled myself for this moment. And they say, okay, well, I'm Judy, and I'm Kevin. And I said, that's weird, those are my parents' names. So couldn't really practice for that one. You know, the interview went, I think, you know, it was pretty well. I was talking about, you know, all my accomplishments and things I had done, and I did kind of remember as this was happening that a few weeks prior during class one day, a mouse had kind of appeared just from somewhere in the classroom and scuttled around and ran around some desks, and, you know, there's some screaming and raised feet, and then it disappeared again, and we didn't really know where it went. So it was still potentially there. And so this evening, as I'm talking to Judy and Kevin, not my parents, about wanting to go to Harvard, probably as the words, the reason I want to go to Harvard are, as those words come out of my mouth, the mouse reappears and scuttles around the room, and that's probably why I didn't go to Harvard. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Viana. Practice. Practice, practice. Guys, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Well, you get on I-90. You're going to want to go east for comedy. Hey, everybody. Thank you. Who's that? Is that Dwight back there? Dwight, you tell some of your jokes. Lounging at